The economy is our top priority for 2014, and the specific issue that I hope to address this session would be workforce development.
Elaborate on that. What specifically?
Workforce development and job training. We are actually preparing a report that will be multifaceted and released in the next few weeks to address the general overall topic of job training and job development. But among those items contained in that report that it's our intention to recommend is additional funds for workforce development and training.
Mediation is continuing in the lawsuit over the 2011 overhaul of the state pension system. If a settlement emerges, it will come back before the General Assembly. What criteria will you use in deciding whether a settlement is something that you would support?
The criteria which we would consider will be whether or not it continues to reach the original goals, which is maintaining financial security for our pensioners and achieving fiscal stability for the state in the long term.
The General Assembly will be asked in 2014 to continue the process of paying back investors in 38 studios. The annual cost, it will be going up from $2.5 million to $12.5 million. Where do you stand on that?
I continue to believe, as I did last year, that the state must meet its commitment on the moral obligation bonds. That being said, I also believe the state has an obligation to pursue all alternative sources of revenue possible to make the state whole with regard to the 38 Studios transaction. It is my understanding that the civil litigation is ongoing, and we will support any efforts in that realm to ensure possible alternative funds rather than taxpayer dollars.
Are you convinced that paying back the investors is less costly than not paying them back? And if so, why?
I believe the investors will be paid no matter what, whether they're paid by the insurance company or directly by the Economic Development Corporation. Last year, we were advised that it would affect the bond rating of the state and the cities and towns if we were to default on those bonds. Following that advice from the executive branch and the general treasurer, we met that moral obligation. I made those payments. If there was any alternative presented to us where it made sense to look to the insurance company to make those payments and then for us to, in fact, be responsible to the insurance company, certainly I'd be open to that discussion.
Some people, including Senator Dawson Hodgson, argued that an independent commission is needed to look at how the 38 Studios deal came together so the state can have an unvarnished view of how that happened and avoid a similar situation in the future. Would you support the creation of such a commission?
I think it's important to say that we took steps last year to ensure that 38 Studios would not happen again. Specifically, we have enacted clear performance measures and we discontinued the loan guarantee program. We also, in enacting the historic tax credit program, put a per project cap in order to avoid anything similar to a 38 Studios happening again, where there was such a significant investment in one major plan. We also passed, but the governor vetoed legislation requiring all quasi-public entities to meet higher standards of accountability. I anticipate that Senator Hodgson will introduce that legislation, and it will be heard by, I believe, the Judiciary Committee or the Finance Committee, and we will look to the advice of the experts as to whether or not that legislation is necessary or whether or not it is in the best interest of the state. The question always is, will it impede or have a negative impact in any way on the ongoing civil litigation?
It sounds like you're a little lukewarm, perhaps, on the idea of this independent commission on 38 Studios.
As with any legislation, it will be introduced and it'll have a full hearing, but I'm not convinced that it's necessary, only because there isn't a person in this building that feels as strongly, including the governor, that we do not want to have another 38 Studios, and we have taken steps to ensure that that won't happen again.
The Senate's landmark initiative in 2013 was the so-called Moving the Needle effort to try and foster long-term economic development. Perhaps it's unrealistic to expect a significant change in the economy in a short period of time, but has the needle moved?
We have seen movement. Yes, we have seen movement of the needle in terms of per capita personal income has increased. Our ranking, in fact, has increased to from 15 to 14. Our gross domestic product has also increased. We went from the 27th highest in the United States to the 24th highest. So we have seen some movement, particularly those two factors. As you know, some of the changes which we proposed are just taking effect in January and coming into fruition now, but we definitely are seeing some changes.
On a related front, we see how the quasi-public agency known as the State Economic Development Corporation is about to change its name. To some people question whether this is really a significant change or just shuffling things around. What do you say?
I think that it is a significant change in that it's, it has the clear performance measures, regular performance, agency performance, and also the online information changes that we've made so that information is available to the public regarding the Economic Development Corporation. I do believe it's important. I know that we will need to have some cleanup legislation that I anticipate the governor will be sending us, as is often the case when you do a massive restructuring. But yes, and equally important, what we've been told repeatedly by the business community is the importance of a vision and a long-term economic plan that everyone participates in the creation of, the business community, the not-for-profit sector, and the government, and that will really be effective with the entrance of a new governor, the election of a new governor.
The imposition of a 10-cent toll on the Sconnet River Bridge has displeased many people and businesses in the East Bay. As a proud resident of Newport, what do you think the best way forward is for the state in terms of funding bridge maintenance?
As difficult as this toll has been, it's the first time that I've seen a real discussion at the General Assembly level of what is necessary to fund our roads and infrastructure in this state. And as painful as it's been that the discussion had to be ignited, so to speak, by a Sconnet River Bridge toll, the fact of the matter is, whether it's the Providence Viaduct or the Pawtucket Bridge, this state has used federal money to make significant investments over the past few years in infrastructure, and we have a responsibility to future generations to maintain that infrastructure. It's not just about political expediency. I anticipate the commission task force coming forward with recommendations that will have a variety of user fees, ranging from emission testing to perhaps gas tax, and I am confident that we are going to look at this with a more global approach to infrastructure funding in our state, not just the Sconnet River Bridge toll. Certainly, I do not support the toll that was proposed by Turnpike and Bridge Authority. It was too high. However, certainly toll discussions, whether it's in Westerly or I-195 or Sconnet River Bridge, are very real discussions that need to happen as part of a user fee discussion. However, those folks on East Bay are right to say, why should we be the only ones paying for infrastructure? Why did it have to begin with us? We should be having a real discussion. Why is the state willing to pay for maintenance of a Pawtucket Bridge or a Westerly Road and not for a Sconnet River Bridge?
If you win re-election in November 2014, will you seek another term as Senate President?
Yes.
How much longer would you like to remain Senate President?
I have a great Senate team. I oftentimes say that while I am the Senate president, I do so. I am given that honor and opportunity by my colleagues. I have great confidence in the entire team. Majority Leader Ruggiero, Majority Whip, Senator Mary Ellen Goodwin, and all of my chairmen. So at this point in time, what I would say is I believe I have confidence in our Senate team, and we take it one election at a time, one term at a time.
Rhode Island's passage of a voter ID law attracted a lot of attention in 2011. Usually that's an issue associated more strongly with Republicans. Would you support a repeal of the voter ID law?
I do not support a repeal of the voter ID law. However, we always are looking to ensure that it is not disenfranchising individuals. And I certainly am open to a discussion ensuring that if any changes are needed to in law to avoid disenfranchisement, that those changes could be enacted.
Are there any other issues that you would like to address this session?
I would like the opportunity to place before the voters in this upcoming election the potential linkage of the governor and lieutenant governor seats. Once again, it is an ideal time for that to occur because there will be a vacancy in the office. I think it would provide for more effective governance for the state of Rhode Island.
Senate President Teresa Pivoweed, thank you for sitting down with us.
Thank you very much.